I encourage you to turn to take your Bibles and turn to that place in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. I'd like to read in your hearing from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 29 through 34. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother laid sick with a fever, and they told him about her. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Will you pray with me? Father, the psalmist has proclaimed that you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Father, as you have commanded us to keep your word, feed us through your word, that we might keep your commandments and that you might receive much glory to yourself. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Previously, we were in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, and there we see the initial exercise of Jesus' authority in his calling men to follow him. And then when we were in verses 21 through 28, there is this question: what does it mean to have authority? We see Jesus exercising the authority to teach. From the response of Jesus' teaching, we ask, how is the authority of Jesus' teaching different? Followed by, what is the extent of Jesus' authority? And now we are in verses 29 through 34. And we'll see the ever-expanding of Jesus' authority. In verses 21 through 28, we define authority as the prerogative, the right, or privilege to rule or govern others. But in verse 30 here, we see sickness manifesting the same type of authority. Look with me at verse 30, Mark chapter 1. It says, but Simon's wife's mother laid sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. In this verse, we have an inferred comparison of the authority of sickness and disease. Those in the house have concluded that sickness is the cause of what's happening here. Sickness is on the scene, and sickness wants everyone to know that sickness is here. Sickness is the cause of why this woman is lying. Sickness is the cause of her condition with fever. Sickness is the cause of why she can't serve. At this point in her life, all you know about her is what sickness reveals. Sickness is in the house, and sickness has made itself known. For this woman, Simon's wife's mother, her identity is shrouded by sickness. This is how we know her, and this is how she lives. Sickness is not a person. Sickness has no cognitive ability, yet sickness, whatever it is, manifests some type of authority over this woman. sickness and disease occur throughout the Bible. Sickness has even exercised authority over a king. In Isaiah 38:9, we have these words, "This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and recovered from his sickness." Sickness is in the house, and sickness is exercising authority, and sickness can exercise authority over a king. Sickness has exercised authority over a prophet. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Sickness is here. Sickness has exercised authority over a king, and sickness has exercised authority over a prophet. Sickness and disease have no concern about your age, your location or housing situation, education, wealth or financial situation, family condition, past performance, or current commitments. Sickness is in the house, and sickness is exercising authority. It's like a weed in the garden. You can pull them out, but they will be back. Or it's like that stain on the white garment. You can treat it, bleach it, but the stain remains. One of the lingering questions for those who have recovered from the sickness of cancer is, will there be a reoccurrence? Even after the authority of sickness has been removed, the thoughts of its presence lingers. Sickness is here. And sickness, whatever it is exercising some type of authority, some type of prerogative, some ability to rule. Some have sought or seek to deny the existence of sickness or disease. But in verse 31, we see that a whole city is convinced of its existence. Some have sought or seek to use the power of positive thoughts. But we don't see that type of language here. What we see are people acknowledging what has occurred and are seeking a real solution. This is the authority of sickness and disease. And as we look at this comparison, we could ask, what does sickness look like? In verse 30, sickness is a fever. There are various types of fevers, some of which were fatal during this time. Malaria and tuberculosis appeared to be the most common fever-inducing diseases in the ancient medical literature. In verse 33, there are various diseases. Some of the common diseases were blindness, and some of you may remember Eli the priest in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here is a priest that is blind. There's deafness and muteness. Deformity. Some of you will recall in Luke 13, Jesus heals a woman who had been bent over for 18 years. These are counted as sicknesses and various diseases. And these are just some of the manifestations of the authority of sickness and disease. Before we move on, we must ask, why does sickness and disease have this type of authority? Sickness is here, and sickness is exercising authority. And it's manifested in many ways. And sickness doesn't care who you are, where you come from, or where you're going, what you drive or don't drive, where you live or don't live. Why does sickness and disease have this type of authority? Is it just part of the biological process? Plants are affected by disease. Animals and pets are affected by disease. Humans are affected by disease. It's just part of the biological process. But the book of Genesis reveals something different. In Genesis chapter 1, 26, we have these words, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Dominion was granted to man. Sickness and disease are not found here. But then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, there are these words. "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Sickness and disease are found here. Sin has pervaded every part of our physical, mental, and emotional makeup so that there is nothing about us that remains untouched by sin. Sin has brought sickness and various diseases. The prince of this world is still alive, and it may be that he himself is using sickness and disease. And so we can see that sickness is here because sin is here. And where sin reigns, sickness is not far behind. So sickness is here. And sickness, whatever it is and however it manifests itself, is exercising authority. And we see it here. This is the authority of sickness and disease. But this is only part of the story. As we shall see shortly, the people have been given an option regarding the authority of sickness and various diseases. We see the authority of sickness in verse 30, but now look at verses 31 and 34. "So he," Jesus, "came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons." Here we see Jesus' authority and sickness with various diseases. Jesus does not deny that sickness is present. He accepts the conclusion of those who have known sickness, that sickness is here. We are not told if other solutions were tried or how many solutions were tried. We don't know if she was isolated from others so that the fever would not spread, and that's why they told him about her. But the they who told him about her probably included those he had previously called, those he had exercised authority over by saying, "Come, follow me, and I will make you." They had witnessed the authority of his teaching. They had witnessed his authority to command an unclean spirit. But what about this? Does the one who has called us to follow also have authority over sickness and various diseases? Can we trust Jesus with this? For them, the healing of this fever was a hard thing, an ever-present thing. Sickness is the cause of where this woman is. Sickness is the cause of her condition. Sickness is the cause of why she can't serve. Others know she has a sickness, But what can they do about the authority of sickness? We should see that Jesus' authority over sickness is a contrast instead of a comparison. Jesus knows what to do with sickness. Jesus exercises his authority over sickness, and sickness obeys. When Jesus exercises his authority over the demons obey. Some of you are familiar with the Mucinex commercials. There's been many of them, and they've seemed to have a different spin. There's now a character associated with the Mucinex DM commercial. He's called Mucus. And so in one of the commercials, it's called Cough a Cabana. The commercial starts with this guy late at night disturbing his wife's sleep. He has this hacking cough. He's coughing and she's turning in the bed. He tries to stand up and and she turns over. And then the narrator states, when mucus makes you cough, it can be a long night. Then the camera shifts to Mucus and his date, Mrs. Mucus. Mucus says, I love coming to the Cough a Cabana. Let's dance. They're playing our favorite song, Hacker's Delight. The narrator states, maximum strength Mucinex DM breaks up Mucus and quiets coughing. While Mucus is being sucked away, he says, the song is over. When Jesus exercises his authority over sickness, the song is over. And in these verses, it says that the fever left her. We see that for Jesus, it doesn't matter what kind of sickness or disease. There's no indication that these were temporary healings. There's no booster shots for Jesus' healing. There's no second shot for Jesus' healing. There's no return flight. There's no boomerang back to the house. It simply says that the fever left her. We don't know the healing demographics in these verses. How many people showed up at the door? How many people were healed from the various diseases? How many demons were cast out? Were there 16 men, 27 women, 7 children, all under the age of 12? We don't know their names, but that's not the focus here. The focus is on Jesus and what he does and can do. So for those who follow Jesus, who watched him, who Jesus called them, and then they go to the synagogue, and Jesus teaches, and the people that were there were amazed at his teaching, and then an unclean spirit is manifested, and they see that he takes care of that, and then they bring him to the house, and here's one who is sick, and if you're a follower of Jesus, you're wondering, does Jesus have authority over this too? It's okay that he had authority over the teaching. And it's okay of that unclean spirit. But see, those things are away from them. But notice Jesus is now in their house. And now these are things that are closer to them. It's okay of hearing how other people have been healed by Jesus. But this is the mother-in-law. What can he do for my family? What can he do here in the house? And they tell Jesus. And they're there and they're watching. And Jesus takes her by the hand and lifts her up. And the fever leaves. So Jesus heals those things that are out there. but Jesus also heals those things that are in here. And they have a greater sense of what Jesus can do. This is Jesus' authority over sickness with various diseases. But this also is only part of the story. What we want to see is not where they are with Jesus and their sickness with various diseases, but where we are with Jesus in our sicknesses and diseases and hardships and troubles and afflictions. And so we must consider, how do we reconcile Jesus in our sickness and disease and hardship and afflictions, troubles, sufferings, persecutions? Look at verses 31 and 34 again. So he, Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. We see that sickness is not a person, but it exercises authority. However, Jesus exercises authority over sickness with various diseases, but Jesus is not physically here. So how can he take me by the hand and lift me up from my sickness? I follow Jesus, but where do I go to experience Jesus' healing from my current sickness and trouble, circumstances, hardship, persecution, ailments? The sickness that I have, my child has, my mother has, my father has, my friends have. I follow Jesus, but is he still exercising his authority over sickness with various diseases? Can Jesus be our bridge over troubled water, as Simon and Garfunkel would say? When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them up. I'm on your side when times get rough and friends just can't be found. Is Jesus this bridge over troubled water? I follow Jesus, but why follow Jesus if he will not heal today in my house, my mother, and my father, and my child, among my friends? These are serious questions, but this is not the primary question. I think the primary question is, how is sickness being used here, and how can sickness be used now? How are your troubles being used now? How are your hardships being used now? Sickness may be used to show the very works of God. For these men that Jesus has called to follow, they are seeing the works of God being manifested in a way they would have never seen if they continued to fish. Their idea of God may have been limited to the ceremonies, to the synagogues, to the scribes who are simply quoting other scribes or some tradition. Their view of God was some religious activity. But Jesus comes, and there is sickness here, and the works of God are being manifested because there is sickness here. And so those who follow Jesus, Jesus is ever expanding his authority. And now they have a greater view of the works of God that they would have never seen apart from sickness and trouble and frustration and anxiety and persecution. sickness may be used to show the very works of God. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" We could say not only born blind, but that has this sickness, this hardship, this persecution, this affliction. Who sinned? What has happened that this sickness has come here, this disease? What did my little child do that they suffer, that they're suffering this way? Who sinned? Did I do something wrong and that's why my child is this way? Did I do something wrong and this is why my husband treats me this way, my wife treats me this way? Was it the sins of my father that has occurred that this is why I am this way? This is why sickness is here, disease, trouble, anxiety, affliction. Who sinned? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." But that's great when healing occurs or when we have received relief from our troubles and hardships and afflictions, but what about when it lingers and it doesn't go away? See, if we were suffering, we had a disease or sickness or hardship and it's taken away, we can look back and say, that was the work of God. But what happens when it remains, when there's still sickness and trouble and persecution and all manner of affliction? Paul might provide some insight into this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 9. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" We have no indication that those who were sick with various diseases saw themselves as a means of God showing his works in them. They just sought relief. We see in verse 31 that healing from sickness gives an opportunity or an encouragement to serve. How is the work of God revealed in our sickness, our troubles, in our persecutions, our afflictions, the shortcomings of our day, of our week, and our lives? We're not told how, only that he is working. Although such knowledge may not be revealed to us, we can seek relief from our suffering through the means God provides. Jesus reveals a means of such relief. In Matthew 6, verses 7 through 10, this is what Jesus says. "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows these things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." This is a relief. The Father knows. You see, there is sickness here. And we would think that it is a mystery that there is sickness here. But the Father knows, and Jesus says that even though the Father knows, you pray. But he tells us what to pray: "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. your will be done. It could be that in the very sickness, troubles, various diseases, afflictions, persecutions, that the name of God is being hallowed, that his kingdom is being manifested, that his will is being done. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. The Father knows the things you have need of. That includes relief from sickness with various diseases, hardships, and all manner of troubles. How do we reconcile Jesus and sickness, disease, hardships, and troubles? There's still sickness because there's still sin in this world. Sickness and all manner of hardship may be the cause of where we are. Sickness and trouble may be the cause of our condition. Sickness and disease may limit our ability to serve. At this point in our lives, all anyone might know about us is what sickness reveals. Yet our sickness may be the very work of God that needs to be revealed. And Jesus says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. The people had been given an option. Let's conclude the story with another question. As we consider our options, look at verse 31. So he, Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. What will you do with your sickness, your troubles, and your hardship? What will you do? It would be great to pray for healing so that you might serve, but until that occurs, or if that doesn't occur, what will you do with your sickness, trouble, hardship, affliction, disease, persecution? You could accept Job's wife's advice. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." You could attempt to hide from trouble and hardship. You could unfriend people and move to some other neighborhood, city, state, country. You could pursue suicide or kill the one who brings trouble. You could harm yourself to draw attention and sympathy to your sickness. You could languish over past sins and bad mistakes regarding the cause of your sickness, hardship, trouble, persecution, present circumstances. You could pursue all kinds of gimmicks, healing handkerchiefs and aprons, special tap water, wearing images of dead people on pieces of metal, attending special healing services, avoiding negative thoughts, negative places, negative people, receiving well wishes from others. You could ascribe to sickness authority it does not have by seeking to escape it with drugs, alcohol, or some other addiction. Or you could do what these people have done. They told Jesus about her. Jesus said to his followers in John 16, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What will you do with your sickness and troubles and hardship? You who are in Christ, be encouraged that this same Jesus is still exercising authority at the right hand of the Father. He has already overcome the world with all of its sickness and trouble and hardship and affliction. So he could say to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." What will you do with your sickness, troubles, and hardship? Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What will you do with sickness, trouble, and hardship? The Father says in Matthew 11, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen to me, that you may live." And that's Isaiah 53 or 55, not Matthew. What will you do with your sickness, troubles, and hardships? In Revelation 22:17, we have these words. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. What did the people do when Jesus showed up? They came to Jesus. What can you do for your child, for your friends, for your mother, for your father, when there is sickness, hardship, and trouble? Those in the house told Jesus about her. What will you do? I would encourage you to tell Jesus about her, about the hardship, about the sickness, the trouble, the affliction. We don't know how God will reveal himself in your sickness and hardship, persecution, all manner of diseases. But this we know for those who are in Christ, that the work of God is taking place and his name will be hallowed. His will be manifested. And whether we see it or not, Jesus reigns. Jesus has all authority. Nothing escapes him. Yes, he still has the authority to take sickness away. But it may be that God is more glorified in the sickness and in the trouble and the hardship that you are experiencing this day. And it may be the same for the next day that you experience. And it may be for all the days that the Lord has given you that you will know this sickness. And that simply means that the work of God is being manifested in your life for every day that he has been granted to you. What will you do with the sickness and hardship in your life? Will you not come to Jesus? Will you not allow God to be manifested in your life in this very weakness? Come to Jesus. The bride and the Spirit say, come. This is what those in Christ may do with their sickness and hardship and trouble and afflictions and concerns. But you who are in rebellion against Jesus' authority, you might benefit from God's common grace of healing as the people who simply showed up at the door, and their sickness also was cast away. But those who are not in Christ cannot escape the fuller impact of sin and sickness that's associated with sin. They may be experiencing a measure of God's grace in their lives. And in this, God is also glorified. But when Jesus returns, as the scripture says, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, you will be judged. And unless you repent and believe the gospel, you will experience the fullness of Jesus' authority when he casts you into hell. He reigns. He reigns now. And he reigns fully. And now is the time of repentance. Now is the time of seeking his face. But there will be many, even though Jesus offers himself, there will be many who will rebel against his authority. Who is this Jesus that I should come to him? But when he comes, that question will be answered. He is the Lord Almighty, and he comes quickly. So now is the time of repentance. Now is the time of seeking his face. Will you pray with me? Father, you have commanded us to keep your word. We are grateful that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. In your word, you have revealed to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We are grateful that you have given to us your Holy Spirit. Will you also grant that even in our sickness, in hardship, and trouble, and persecution, and afflictions, and all manner of concerns with various diseases, that our lives would reflect your work to your glory, that even in our sickness, your name would be hallowed, that even in our hardship, your will would be done. I pray this to your glory and in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.